Now, I have the great joy and privilege to introduce our speaker to you for this afternoon. Kim Morin is our speaker, and she's not a daughter to me, but she's like a daughter to me. She, along with her family, attended Cherry Grove Friends in the 70s. She has four girl siblings, two of which are twins. So that was a busy household. I first met Kim when she was 9 years old in 1980. That was the same year, the very first Prairie High School Senior Tea. We're on the same page here. She was part of a Sunday school class right up there, and it was taught by one of the men upstairs. No, I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about one of the guys in the media booth here. My husband up there. So, she's very dear to us. We have a history with her. In 1989, when she graduated from Balagon High School, within 2 months, she was married to her high school sweetheart and love of her life, Scott Morin, who was in the Navy, so she became a Navy wife. With the conclusion of Scott's commitment to the Navy, they moved back to Vancouver in 1992, started their family, and came back to Cherry Grove, where they were attending. As they settled into family life, they felt a call to be involved with the youth, and they were great youth leaders. They had served 4.5 years as the youth pastors here at Cherry Grove, and during that time, they felt God still calling them deeper and deeper into pastoral ministry. So in the summer of 2001, they, along with their three little girls, a lot of girls in this family, aren't there, moved to Kansas so Scott could attend Barclay College, and the rest is history. They felt a strong call to hurting churches. And between the years of 2003 to 2017, they served in 4 churches, ranging from Kansas to Virginia to Iowa and back to Kansas. And we won't say anything about how sad I was they had to go back to Kansas, but some of you may love Kansas, I don't know. But at least they were coming west. 2 years ago in 2017, they experienced a different kind of call, and that call was to go home. It was hard for them to leave the ministry, but they knew that they needed to be honoring to God and what he was asking them to do. And in retrospect, as always with God, the timing was perfect. During this time, as they've been home, they've been much closer in physical proximity to their families, which is important as each of them has lost one of their parents in the last almost 2 years, as well as other members of their family. God knew the where and the when that they needed to be home. But now he has a new plan for them, and they are moving to Idaho to pastor a small church there in Homedale. And while there, Kim will be pursuing her master's in family counseling. It's extremely painful for us to see them go again, but we're thrilled their pastoral gifts are being used, and Idaho is a whole lot closer than Kansas, and not as hot. Join me in welcoming Kim Morin.
Good afternoon. My talk to you today is a serious talk. I was asked a year ago if I would come out and talk to you. I was sitting out here with my youngest who just graduated, and I thought I'd pray about it and think about it. And our family suffered a loss at Christmas that I'll be talking about here in a little bit. And I was asked if I would talk in January to you. And instantly, yes, because there's at least one of you that needs to hear this message. So please bear with me as I kind of get emotional. This is the first time I've publicly talked about it. But this next time in your life, congratulations, girls, getting to this point. This is a happy time, a great time. Moms, congratulations on surviving junior high and high school. Mother of 3 girls, I get it. We are not always nice as girls, so it's great that you're here and this new adventure. You guys have new roads ahead of you. And as moms, it's hard to let you, I'm talking to the daughters, as a mom, it is hard to let you take that road. Sometimes we see the mistakes you guys are going to make or you're making, and we know we have to let you, but those mistakes can be hard to let you go ahead and go through. Daughters, there's times when moms know best, and you got to listen to them. And those are the things that I want to talk to you today. There's two ladies I want to talk to you about today. The first one, her name is Jane. Jane Doe. I don't have a picture up of her because, one, she lives in our community, and two, this is going around too often, and I don't want her picture to be the stigma. I want you to have your eyes open to the situation so that you are aware and you're looking more for it. When I first sat down with Jane and her mom, they told me that Jane and Joe's relationship, or Jane and Boy is who I'm going to refer it to, was like a Hallmark movie. Do you guys watch Hallmark movies? You watch the Disney movies, you want that, you want Prince Charming, you want those outcomes? Well, Jane's boy was nice, but was not interested. This was more of a challenge for the boy. Boy did everything to get Jane's attention, even to the point of went to the family. The family loved boy, so they convinced Jane to go out with boy. Jane finally agreed. Boy said, okay, and I know that she doesn't really want to go out, but I'm going to figure out a way to make this work. So I'm going to invite one of her sisters to go with me. So on the day of the date, Jane and sister were ready. Boy showed up with flowers for mom, sister, and Jane, and then gave a bachelorette date. I mean, I've never watched a bachelorette, but from what I've heard, it's a very a big ordeal. Sorry, I just need to. So this date was in stages, and it just wooed Jane. Jane was to the point of, okay, this guy is all that. But boy didn't live in the area, so he would only be in town every now and then, and every time they'd go on a date, this date was better than the last. Huge dates, I mean, just romantic. And when it came time, she fell for him, and when it came time to proposing, he got a whole airline involved. I mean, the romantic Sweet Home Alabama type proposal. I mean, this is everything we want, right? So the family was thrilled, she was thrilled, everything was good, families got along, all's good. And then Jane said, Mom, boy wants to help plan the wedding. Well, that was okay. Well, then they started seeing, as it got closer to the wedding, more and more control that boy wanted over everything. Didn't matter what Jane wanted, didn't matter what anyone else wanted. It was only what boy wanted. And so then it got to the week of the wedding, and Mom was like, okay, something's not right here. She had this inner voice. And in this inner voice, she just went to Jane, and she's like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, Mom, yeah. Kind of like we all do. Yeah, no, it's okay. Sister came to Mom and said, something's not right. Please let me talk to Jane. Mom said, no, I've already talked to Jane. She's good. So they got up to the day of the wedding, and right before they walked down the aisle, Mom said, are you sure? Are you sure? I can deal with all of those guests out there. Are you sure? And Jane hesitated, and then just said, nope, I'm going to do this. For the next 10 hours, Jane had her Prince Charming. Beautiful wedding reception. They started their honeymoon. The next day when they woke up, her Prince Charming turned to the Prince of Darkness. Something that Mom had felt and sister had seen, and later Jane would recognize, was an inner gut feeling that she truly did feel but wasn't listening to, became a reality. And for the next 9 years, Jane would be put to mental, physical, and emotional abuse, going from a very strong woman to a broken woman. And he had moved her away from her family and his family, so that she had no support. When they finally moved back home, she was so broken that she could not fight for herself or her child at that point, that it was her family that had to intervene for her to get her away from him. This man would do things like they would be in a foreign country and say, "I could kill you right here, and I could dispose of your body, and there's no one that could do anything." And then he would smile and he would walk away. If she didn't act just right when she was in public, she would get punished when she got home. She fell for a narcissist, which is, kind of skipped around here. A narcissist is a man that is, or a person, because this can fit any relationship, is a person that has buried their true self in response to something from their past, and they found a new way to compensate by replacing their true self with a highly developed false self. And they take time to put their hooks in the person so that they can now gain their self-confidence by taking away others. We see this in society all the time. And it's something that as mothers, we don't want to see in our daughters. And as daughters, we don't want to always see what our mothers see. We think we know what we're doing, but we need to listen to that voice. The second person that I want to talk to you about . She touches home. I don't know if any of you have seen her picture. Kelsey Barrett went missing on Thanksgiving. She is a mother of a one-year-old. Sorry, I will gather this. She was on the national news. She continues to be on the national news. She's had a 48-hour special done on her. She has a Dateline special coming out on her. Kelsey was my niece. She met her fiance on the internet. And for a very long time, they communicated through the internet, never meeting in person. But she felt that she had gotten to know him well enough to move away with him. The day he arrived in Idaho to move her to Colorado, her mom got the distinct feeling there was something wrong. But at that time, her mom thought, you know, she's 27 years old. She's old enough. She needs to make this decision. Right away, Patrick demanded that Kelsey change. My niece was a beautiful girl, and I truly believe she was. I don't think that's my prejudice. It might be. She was like one of my own kids. She grew up on a farm, so she was farm girl strong. She was athletic. She was on the homecoming court. She was very strong-willed and stubborn. She was an introvert and a jokester. She was compassionate. She loved animals. She had a very strong faith in God. Kelsey was also a licensed pilot, and she carried a gun. She carried that gun even when she went running. She was self-confident. At the same time, Kelsey also struggled with self-esteem. She had things that would happen as she trained pilots. She trained pilots for the military that flew drones, but in order to fly a drone, you have to know how to fly an airplane. So my niece would train those pilots how to fly. But she would have family and she would have friends that would say, "You're a girl, there's no way I'm ever gonna fly with you." And so that would bring her down. It's like, why don't people trust me? Kelsey was also short, and that, I'm sorry, I'm tall, I don't understand the short thing, but I understand that people look down on short people, but Kelsey fit perfectly under my arm. And she gave me the best hugs, and I can still hear her laugh, and I can still hear her say, "Aunt Kim." And she was just full of love. But because of Kelsey's self-esteem issues, there was one thing that I think 90% of the women in this room do. She found ways of covering up that self-esteem. She found something to mask it and to give her strength. And for her, it was makeup. For me, it's makeup. Usually, if I have makeup on, I cannot cry. This has changed that, but. So the day Patrick came to pick her up, he told her that that makeup bag was to stay in Idaho. She was not allowed to bring it. And that was the first red flag we got. And she still brought her makeup, but it became this tension. And from the get-go of meeting in person, that was the first meeting, the first time they met in person, he tried to control her. But he had manipulated her so much on the internet that she felt that she knew him and this was just a glitch. After Kelsey moved to Colorado, we noticed more and more things that were changing. He refused to meet any of the family. He didn't meet her brother. There's Kelsey and Clint are the only two siblings, and he refused to meet her brother for a year after they were together. She quit coming to a lot of the family events. She wouldn't return phone calls. She just became very withdrawn from family, which was not normal for Kelsey. The only time I've ever met or seen Patrick in person was at his preliminary hearing. My husband tried to meet him once, and at the very last minute, he canceled the lunch. Kelsey came out to my daughter's wedding. She'll be married 3 years, so Kelsey and Patrick had just gotten together. And I'm sure if I looked around the room, a lot of us have our nails done. I didn't because I'm getting ready to move. But we are all of our family, all the girls, we were all going to get up and do mani-pedis before the wedding. So Kelsey and I got to get this little time away. I hadn't been able to see her in a few years, and this was my Kelsey. And so she and I were sitting there talking, and I just asked her what she was going to get done with her nails, and she loved French manicures. And she said, "I can't do any of that." She said, "Patrick says only whores get those done." Well, okay, I'm from a big family, like Sandy said. There's 5 girls. And then there's all the mother-in-laws. And then my daughter married into a big family. So there were lots of us women there. And I don't think that, if you can picture that room, that did not go over very well. Like, Kelsey, you can get whatever you want done. He's not here. He doesn't control you. You're not married. And that's when she said, "We don't have to get married under the law. Patrick said that we got married under God. So we're married, we're just not legally married." It's like, okay, wait a second, honey. You wanted this wedding, he had already twisted things with her to that point. So we went ahead and she got some nails done. But she got them so close to natural color that you really couldn't even tell that she got anything done. But she did, and so we thought, okay, we've got a step here. Our sweet Kelsey, what she really wanted out of life was a family. Listening to, was it Savannah? You were the first one up. Hannah, I'm sorry. Hannah, you were telling how your parents have been married 22 years and have this great relationship. And that's exactly what Kelsey had the representation of. Scott and I, like Sandy said, had been married, it'll be 30 years this year. Cheryl and Daryl, Kelsey's parents, married right out of high school. So we can't relate to any of our kids that have had to date because we've dated our high school sweethearts and we were married young. And so Kelsey, getting to be 27 years old, thought, "I can't keep doing this. This guy says he loves me. I'm going to stick with him because I can't keep looking. I just want a family. I want a guy that loves me and I want kids. And So when she got pregnant, she thought she had it all. Kelsey had her baby girl. But that's when the problems got worse. Patrick could no longer, not that he could control Kelsey completely, but he definitely couldn't now because Kelsey put their baby first, as every mother, every one of us would do. And so this control that he had completely lost over her, and they had a girl, so it was another blow to him, he tried to find a way to gain full custody of their daughter. And when he, in the state of Colorado, he couldn't do it. So he began in August trying to plot how to kill her. In October, they celebrated their daughter's first birthday, and on Thanksgiving, he murdered her. The point I want to make here to you girls. Jane and Kelsey both trusted their lives, their future, and their children to people who took advantage and twisted that trust. They were manipulated to the point where they didn't know what truth is anymore. Both moms, after talking with them, both had that sense of something is not right. And both moms regret not stepping in and speaking up. When I talked to Jane, her mom had offered to cancel the wedding. I said, "What if your mom had offered to postpone the wedding? Would you have done that?" And she said, "Yeah, I probably would have." So there's times when we may have to choose the wording that we have to say to our daughters. Even, and daughters, this goes to your friends as well. These manipulators, they don't come from just our mates. These manipulators can be friends, these can be our bosses. When you get out into the workforce, you guys are going to be hit with a whole lot of things. God created each one of you to be beautifully. God created each one of you with a special purpose. And there's somebody out there that needs to believe that, needs to know that, that doesn't believe that. Each one of you, as I look around the room and as I've been praying over you for weeks and others around here, we want you to know that for sure, that you are beautiful. You are worth the fight. All of you. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature." God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. "For you, he created my inmost being. For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them." Each of you, both your both seniors and mothers, those that are representing the mothers, each of you are worth far more. You are here because you love this girl, You were created in the God's image. You were created beautifully. You were created to do great things. Whether you believe that now, I want you to go home thinking about that. You were created to do great things. Jane gave me a couple of verses that helped her get through and to overcome. These verses have helped her get past terrors. I don't know what you're going through now. I don't know what you've experienced in the past. I know some things of girls your age that have gone through way too much. But I hope these verses help you. Jane's first verse was Isaiah 61:3. And provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord to display and a display of his splendor. Psalm 32:7-8 was the second one that has helped her. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with song and deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Jane found strength to hang on. She knew deep down that she was worth the fight. Do you believe that? Are you worth the fight? Sadly, I've counseled with others who have bought into this lie in both heterosexual, homosexual, and bisexual relationships. I've heard partners say, because you've been in this relationship, no one will ever want you. Because you've done this, no one will ever want you. Because you've been raped, no one will ever want you. Because you had an abortion, no one will ever want you. Because, and you fill in that blank. What I'm here to tell you today is that it's all lies. Your past is your past, and you can move forward, and there are people out there that love you and want you and are rooting for you. Don't buy those lies. Kelsey's Bible was burned. But then her mom found a second Bible, and in it she had one verse. In her Bible, she had one verse that was taped into her Bible. In her handwriting, it was Isaiah 1:10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to instructions of our God, you people of Gomorrah. And then her mom told me that she lived by Psalm 4, the whole chapter, but I'm only going to bring forth to you verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Listen to your moms, listen to your friends, listen to those spiritual advisors. Listen. Listen to God. He's speaking to you. Believe in yourself enough. Love yourself and don't believe the lies of others. Moms, I want you to know that stepping on toes to save your daughter from years, I forgot to mention earlier that it has now been 21 years since she said I do, and she still to this day is suffering from PTSD. She still to this day is struggling. And still to this day, her child struggles. Stepping on your daughter's toes is worth those 21 years. Stepping on your daughter's toes is worth saving her life. The difference is learning how to step on their toes in a loving way to where they'll hear it. You know when the time is right to talk to them. You know when your daughters are going to actually hear what you have to say. And daughters, listen to your moms. There's a reason they're coming to you. You may not agree, but you may need to postpone something, may need to put it off, may need to take time to check it out. Take time for both of you. Like Jane, we all long for the fairy tale. We can get wrapped up in the fragrance of love, but God has placed people in your lives that do not have those rose-colored glasses on. They have been given words to tell you, and you must listen. Then you must decide if what they're saying is truth, because not always will it be truth. Some will come to you out of a selfish motivation, so you have to listen to what that is. God even gave us some scripture. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And as Isaiah 41:13, "For I am the Lord your God, take hold of your right hand and say to you, do not fear, I will help you." And Jeremiah 1:6-7, "I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young." He's speaking to you, girls. You're not too young to speak. "You must go to everyone and send to you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord." And Esther 4:13-14. "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jews and arise out from another place. But you and your father's family will perish, and you know, and who knows, but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this." I chose that verse because the book of Esther is about a woman, a young woman, your age, that was placed in the, all of a sudden, as queen over a kingdom. And she was given the responsibility to speak up, and she was not going to. And her uncle said, "If you don't, you're going to die too. And who knows, maybe you were placed in this position for a reason. You may have been placed in your friend's life, in your coworker's life, in your dorm rooms, your dorm mate's life for a reason. Do not be afraid to speak up." If those around you are not supporting you and tearing you down, then you need to find new people. Keep looking. God has a place for you if you will only trust him. Listen to that inner voice. I'm still struggling sometimes listening to that inner voice. But listen, because when you do, he will be taking care of you. I'd like to pray for you. Father God, we do thank you for this time of celebration. We thank you for each one of the girls here and all that they've accomplished. You know each one by heart. You knitted each one of them together. You've created them each beautifully. You know what plans you have for them in the future. You know the path that you have set out for them. Father, I loved hearing the stories earlier, the way that these girls love their moms, that they're best friends. I pray that connection will continue and that they will listen to each other, that they will speak when they need to speak, that they will support when they need to support. They will love throughout their life. Father, I pray for protection over each one of these girls, that they will never run into the situation. But Lord, if one of them does, whether it's them or somebody else, please give them the strength to run. If it's them in that situation, if they see somebody else in that situation, please give them the strength to speak up. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. It's your name we pray. Amen.